Will you stand for our confession of faith, which is taken from 1 Corinthians and Colossians? Beloved, this is the good news which we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved.
Christ died for our sins,
was buried, and raised on the third day, and appeared first to the women, then to Peter and the 12, and then to many faithful witnesses. We believe Jesus is the Christ,
the Lord of God, the firstborn of the creation,
the firstborn of the dead,
in whom all things hold together, in whom the fullness of God
was pleased to dwell by the power of the Spirit. Christ is the head of the body, the church, and by the resurrection
of the cross, reconciles all things to God.
Today's scripture lessons are Acts chapter 4, verses 5 through 12, and 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 24. The next day, their rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, all who were of the high priestly family. When they had made the prisoners stand in their midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the cornerstone that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which must be saved, by which we must be saved. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? Little children, let us love, not in word or in speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Christ Jesus, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let the people of God again say amen.
Amen.
And amen again. Will you once again be in the posture of prayer together with me? Oh God, we cannot forget what you've done for us. And so, Lord God, we come yet again to this place of remembrance, this place, oh God, where we attempt to place ourselves as Mary did at our Savior's feet. So I ask only, O God, that the words of this, your servant's mouth, and now the meditations of each of our hearts would now be found to be acceptable, Lord, in your most holy and excellent sight. For you and you only, you are our rock. You are our strength, and you are our one certain and sure foundation. In the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, these blessings we pray, saying together, amen.
Amen.
Amen. I first call to your attention our epistle reading from 1 John, the third chapter, beginning in verse 16. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God. And we receive from him whatever we ask because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And now also our text, our first text from Acts, fourth chapter beginning in verse 7, which reads, when they had made the prisoners stand in their midst, they inquired, by what power or by what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick, and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. Beloved, there is no greater evidence of a true Christian believer than to see in him or her the kind of action that gives witness to the true love of Jesus Christ found within that believer's heart. The author of our epistle lesson from 1 John writes at the very beginning of that passage in verse 3:16. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? And the author of the book of James writes similarly, "So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead." So it's not enough for me to simply say in this post-Easter season of resurrection that I believe in Jesus Christ and in his resurrection from the dead. But now, according to our two texts this morning, I am being challenged to put this faith and belief in the risen Christ to the test. Now, first lesson this morning from the book of Acts, we see that already Peter and the other disciples who had experienced Christ in his resurrection had gone beyond the limitations of the old Peter and of their previous limited beliefs. The post-resurrection Peter had gone beyond the hesitation and the doubt and the fear that we saw in Peter prior to our Lord's resurrection. And now this new Peter had become the kind of Peter that Jesus had predicted Peter would become when he told Peter in Matthew 16, chapter verse 18, "And I tell you this, you are Petros," which is the Greek translation of the word rock. "And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades or hell shall not prevail against it." It's a pretty bold prediction he made of Peter at that particular moment in Peter's journey. Who would ever have imagined that someone like Peter would become the rock, the anchor, the foundation upon which Christ would eventually build his church? But we see in our text from Acts that this post-resurrection Peter is now beginning to live up to the expectations that Jesus had for him prior to Jesus' death and resurrection. And this post-resurrection Peter is now being put on trial by the Jewish religious authorities for healing a man who was lame in the name of Jesus. For it was Peter who in the preceding third chapter of Acts came across a lame man who had been carried into and laid down by the gates of the temple so that this man might be in a better position to beg for alms or for handouts. However, when Peter came across this man at the temple gates, who then asked Peter for a handout, according to Acts 3rd chapter verse 6, Peter famously said, "Neither silver or gold have I, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And Acts 3:7 goes on to say, "And Peter took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were made strong. And jumping up, he stood and began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God." Now just think, if only we too would take hold of the power Christ wants to convey to us according to our authentic belief in the power of his resurrection, then perhaps we too might begin to act with a similar measure of boldness. Boldness not out of our own. Boldness born not out of our own self-interested and self-centered power, but boldness born instead out of our deep love and belief in a resurrected Christ, and out of an abiding love and passion for those whom Christ has now put us in position to serve. As we see here now with Peter. And perhaps then we too might be in a position to participate in and give witness to miracles, both small and large, happening everywhere around us. Our text from Acts tells us that on account of this miracle that Peter performed earlier on this lame man lying by the temple gates, that the rulers, the elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem together with Annas, the high priest, and all who were a part of the high priestly family, and they made Peter, who was now a prisoner of theirs, along with those who were with Peter. These religious authorities made Peter and his associates stand before them and then inquired of them, "By what power or what name did you do this?" For among the scribes, the elders and chief priests who controlled the temple were a religious sect known as the Sadducees, who denied the resurrection of the dead. So when Peter took the lame man by the hand and raised him up in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, Peter was healing in the name of someone whom the Sadducees and the other religious authorities had presumed to be dead himself. These assembled religious authorities who now held Peter and his associates captive did not believe in the resurrection of Jesus. And consequently, they stood to persecute anyone who in their minds was perpetuating a myth that blasphemed the Jewish religion. But this post-resurrection Petros was not the same person as was the pre-resurrection Peter, who had denied Jesus three times at the time of his persecution. This post-resurrection Petros was different from the pre-resurrection Peter, who had forbade Jesus to suffer and die. You remember, don't you, that Peter had once told Jesus, "You will never have to go through such things." This Petros, whom we see after the resurrection, not only recovered his faith, but was also now acting with a greater degree of boldness. In our text in Acts, chapter 4, verse 8, says that in response to being put on trial by these Jewish elders and religious authorities for this act of healing in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, our text says, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick, and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. It's a powerful moment when we come to truly understand what has happened. Someone whom we thought life and the forces of sin, evil, and darkness could defeat has now been raised from the grave and has now come to remind you of the power he has to do such things. That same power is now being conveyed to all who believe in his name. So this post-resurrection Peter, who had experienced for himself the profound love of Jesus Christ, both in the crucifixion and now in Christ's resurrection, Peter now sees the world differently. This Peter no longer sees the world through the lenses of his previous doubts and fears. But instead, this Peter now views the world through the lenses of the spiritual power that comes from on high and that raised Jesus up from the grave. And likewise, should we someday become as bold as Peter, such that when the Spirit so leads us to act in such a way that our actions are in perfect alignment with God's will, and in such a way that our actions begin to give witness to our faith and our belief in the resurrected Christ, then others may also begin to inquire of us, as they did with Peter, in asking the question, by what power? Or by what name did you do this? And we'll then also be able to tell them, as Peter did, that it is by the name of Jesus Christ, once crucified. Don't forget that part. That it is by the name of Jesus Christ, once crucified. That meant at one point, he did something for us that changed us forevermore. That it is by the name of Jesus Christ, once crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that we did this. First John 3, verses 16 through 18 again says, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and in action. Beloved, the world is desperate for a love that reveals itself in truth and in action, rather than in mere rhetoric or words. Once we truly step out in faith on behalf of Jesus Christ, and consistent with the guidance of the Spirit and the will of God, we will also step into the real power of Christ's resurrection. And we will come to discover, as Peter did, all of the power that we need to accomplish amazing things on God's behalf. God will give you everything you have need of in that particular moment that God gives you that assignment to serve and to love in the name of Jesus Christ once crucified, but whom God has now raised from the dead. This is why all of the activity that we see in the book of Acts shows a world being turned right side up in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Jesus says in John's 15th chapter, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me bears much fruit. And Jesus also says in that same 15th chapter, greater things than this shall you also do in my name. And speaking of the time when he would cast his Holy Spirit upon all true believers. So, beloved, in the power of Jesus' name, not in our own power, not in our own name. If you try to do something in your own power, in your own name, you're going to screw up. But in the power of Jesus' name, we now have access to the same kind of power that Peter had to bring healing to the world in the name of Jesus. To cast out and overcome demons and principalities and powers and forces of darkness that have strongholds over people's lives in the name of Jesus. To preach good news to the poor, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable time of the Lord's favor, all in the name of Jesus. Francis Havergal was an English poet, pianist, and hymn writer. In the mid-1800s, her most famous hymn is probably Take My Life and Let It Be, which begins with the words, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. And in each verse, Havergal offers some part of her life to the Lord's service. Take my voice, take my hands, take my feet, take my love. She asked God to use every part of her life to make a difference for others. Beloved, love is a gift that God gives us. And it is multiplied. This love is multiplied every time that we give it away. Whenever we love others in the same sacrificial way that God so loved us by giving us his son, Jesus Christ, to die, to lay down his life on our behalf in order that we might somehow know how much it is that God truly does love us. So let us now prepare to go out and put our faith to work. For as 1 John 3:18 again admonishes us, let us love not only in word or in speech. Doesn't matter just to go out and talk a good talk. Let us love not only in word or speech, but in truth and in action. And as the Epistle of James reminds us, faith without works is what? Dead. Let us go out and change the world by loving as Jesus has so loved us, and do so and the strength of his resurrection power.